Hello and welcome to Blooming Curious, the podcast that's all about nurturing that natural curiosity in our early years kids and students. I'm Edwina, your host from the Ed's Lessons blog, a passionate advocate for play and inquiry, and on a mission to keep children curious and questioning. The days of talk and chalk are over. We're diving into the world of integrated, inquiry and nature-based learning, and exploring the strategies that create lifelong learners. So if you're a classroom or homeschool educator, or even a curious parent, then this is the place for you. In today's episode, I'm exploring six reasons why I believe curiosity is waning and what we can do about it. Before I kick off today's episode, I want to acknowledge Dory2509 for your five-star review and recommending Blooming Curious as a top-notch show for homeschool parents and early learning teachers. Thanks, Dory. It's comments like this that keep us podcast going, because without reviews, we have no idea if what we're doing is actually being well received. So thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to leave a comment. Today, I'm kicking off our inquiry and curiosity series. For the next few months, we're going to dive deeply into the strategies that keep kids curious and how to implement them into your classroom or homeschool space. Each one of us is born curious, with an innate drive to explore and discover and understand the world around us. And the way we discover the world is through our senses. This is why babies and young children touch everything, put their fingers in their mouths, turn towards voices and sounds, and discover how they influence their surroundings. When they pull the cat's tail, there's a loud meow. When they push a ball, it rolls away from them. When they play with a rubber duck in the bath, it pops up each time they push it under the water. Every experience is a learning experience, and with every experience, they build schema, which is the type of information web in their brains that's becoming more detailed with every minute and with every interaction. In early childhood, that drive to explore and question and play is curiosity. Curiosity forms the cornerstone of all learning and discovery. And that initial interest and curiosity naturally leads to inquiry. It's a perfect natural transition. And it's inquiry that we facilitate all those, that cognitive development, the skills like questioning and finding out and experimenting and testing. And furthermore, it's our curiosity then that drives us to ask more questions and make new connections and try and solve problems. So if curiosity is so innate in all of us, why are we losing it? Well, there are a number of factors that influence and extinguish curiosity. So I've been having a read and a lot of thinking, and these are the reasons that I think are some of the main drivers of a lack of curiosity, or just that curiosity is no longer being nurtured. Number one is poverty, family, and malnutrition. And this takes me back to Maslow's hierarchy. I wrote about it in a post entitled Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, Nurturing Curiosity in Kids. I'll link to it in the show notes. And it speaks for itself. Children that are raised in homes where there is significant poverty, perhaps abuse, addiction, homelessness, mental health issues in the family, and of course a lack of proper nutrition, are not going to have as many experiences to grow that schema. They will have few opportunities for language development and expression. They may have difficulties with learning, memory, and concentration. They'll have reduced opportunities and experiences to interact with books, educational toys, and outings. As a side note, I must add that there are many beautiful stories of children who have been raised in these environments and have gone on to do incredible things. So although these factors certainly don't give children a great start, there are individuals who have not let their upbringing define their future, and despite the limitations, have indeed defied the odds and stacked against them. But sadly, we don't hear enough of these stories. I also want to mention an article by Bruce D. Perry, where he talks about the reasons for curiosity fading. And he says there are three common ways that adults, which links to that whole thing of family, crush curiosity in curious children. He says fear kills curiosity. And I think this is very obvious. If a child is fearful, They won't take risks to explore. He says that adult disapproval will crush curiosity. And when you react with disgust at that snail on the palm of their hands or the dirt on their knees, and you're always telling them, don't do this, don't do that, don't hurt yourself, don't climb, you're basically saying, don't just explore. So we're removing that innate desire to discover. Because children want approval, they'll put their own desire for exploration aside to seek the approval of the adults in their lives. An absent adult caregiver means the opportunity to share and get reinforcement about their discoveries is removed, as is that sense of safety. When we look back at Maslow's hierarchy, we clearly see when these things are not in place, it's very challenging for children to thrive. I believe that technology has a role to play in the waning of curiosity in our children. And I know there are going to be a lot of people who just throw up their hands and say, what garbage? Let me explain. Technology is definitely a vehicle for curiosity. But when it comes to developing brain of a young child, which we know grows through the creation of schema or this web of knowledge, imagine for a moment those models of molecules. With each experience a child has, another one of those little nodes or balls in that web is formed, and another little connection is made. So that model or that web increases in size. Each one of those little balls or experiences are linked, and each time the child has a new experience, it builds on all those previous experiences. With curiosity, each experience is a new learning, and that includes failures, because through failures and mistakes, the child learns what works and what doesn't. And if they want to carry water from one place to the sandpit to another, and there's a hole in the bucket, they learn very quickly that they need to make a plan to close the hole or somehow to find another bucket. This equates to problem solving, to scientific testing and experimenting. This child is learning to shift their thinking. But imagine now when a child is on a device. Yes, there are interactive games that require thinking and problem solving, but these are one-dimensional, not to mention addictive. When all of us are on devices, we receive a dopamine hit. We're hooked on the likes and the follows. Kids are hooked on the coins that they may be earning in a game, getting to the next level, not to mention what that flickering screen might be doing to a developing brain. Now, I am no scientist, and I haven't spent years conducting research about this, but I have read, and most importantly, I am a parent and an educator for over a decade, and in my time, I have witnessed firsthand the change in children. With each year since the introduction of technology, especially the one-to-one technology that we're seeing in schools now, children's behaviors have changed. As parents, I'm sure that you yourself have noticed how your children's behavior changes when they spend long periods of time on technology. When a child is receiving input only from a device, they are missing out on multisensory and multidimensional experiences that come from interacting with the world and with people around them. Not even to mention this phenomenon that myself and my colleagues around the world are noticing, and that is that children, upon entering school, have increasingly poor oral language. They increasingly struggle to express themselves, and they increasingly lack in vocabulary. And this comes from a lack of input to grow those little mind models, that schema that I've been talking about. One of the reasons I became interested in nature and inquiry-based learning all those years ago was because I got really frustrated with the lack of curiosity in the children that I was teaching. And increasingly, there were kids who already lack that spark, that twinkle in the eye when it comes to curiosity and excitement to learn. Besides the fact that having curiosity makes learning richer, it also has another benefit, and that is that it has the power to intrinsically motivate us. When you're not curious, you have no interest in learning. You have no interest in trying to solve your own problems. You have no interest in new information. So many times I have had conversations with parents and they tell me my child's not interested in anything. The only thing they're interested in is playing games on their iPad. But on the other hand, how many times have we encountered children who don't want to think? They don't want to explore the limits of their own thinking. They're happy for us to just give them information so that they can regurgitate it onto a worksheet or in an assessment. And as humans, we're prone to laziness. We want someone else to solve our problems for us. We don't want to put in the hard yards. We want a pill to solve our problems or a device. Like right now, I'm trying to learn Italian and I just want someone to open my brain, put all that stuff in so that I can just know it because it's just so damn hard. So children and even us adults need to understand that they need to do the hard yards. They need to stop and they need to think at times to use their brains to figure out how to solve a problem and how to be self-aware of our emotions and what's going on around us. I believe this lack of curiosity in ourselves opens the door for others to exploit us. Think about advertising, fast food, junk toys, the desire to keep buying. This comes from a lack of self-awareness, the inability to stop and reflect and question. In recent times, nothing made this clearer to me than the handling of COVID. Those that dared to question and examine and think were labeled conspiracy theorists and even arrested just for asking questions, irrespective of whether what they were asking was true or not. We weren't allowed to think. Some people just weren't allowed to question and have an opinion. There's so many more examples in society right now where we're being fed information and expected to just believe it to be true. You know, the late great Ken Robinson said that schools kill creativity. Well, I'd add that governments and the media fuel the destruction of curiosity. They rely on us being passive consumers of information, and if we live our lives as passive consumers, then our children are in grave danger of themselves becoming passive instead of active creators. The way we get kids to be creators of knowledge and creators of products and creators of new ideas and creators of new thinking is to encourage curiosity. So perhaps it's not the device or the technology itself that stifles our curiosity, but instead how we as adults introduce the idea of the technology. Yes, the world is changing. The jobs of the future are technology focused. And as technology becomes more sophisticated, just look at AI for example, computers will likely be able to do most jobs. And that, my friends, is the one reason we must cultivate curiosity in our children, because they will need to be the ones that program those computers, that solve the problems that the world has and will be facing. And the ability to problem solve and create does not come from a passive consumer of entertainment and knowledge, but rather the active pursuer of it. And so I think we adults have a role in the extinguishing of curiosity in our kids, because we have taken our eye off the prize. We ourselves have become the passive consumers of information and technology, and in turn have become complacent when it comes to doing the hard yards and creating the type of environments where children can thrive, be creative problem solvers and critical thinkers. So this all sounds really depressing, doesn't it? But sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. And if we are to make real changes, and as curious adults, of course, we want to know, how can we fix this? How can we continue to nurture that innate curiosity that every child is born with? To cultivate curiosity in children, we don't need to be highly sophisticated, but we do need to be curious ourselves. We need to model curiosity. We need to be asking questions, modeling finding solutions, modeling our thinking process. As children watch us, they develop schema, their brain webs are growing, and as adults, the parents and the educators, we cannot be passive. We must be the drivers, showing kids what it means to be curious, and we can only do that if we ourselves are curious. Next, we have to encourage questioning. Remember how young children ask a ton of questions? Well, we need to encourage more of that, and we also need to encourage tough questions, those that are open-ended, whose answers cannot easily be found, but may need a bit of exploration and experimentation. So instead of just giving our children and our learners the answers, we need to ask more questions. And the third way I think we can encourage and nurture our children's curiosity is by encouraging them to find answers. We need to show them how to find the answers explicitly. Perhaps it means reading a book about the topic, or watching a National Geographic video, or actually going outside and planting a garden, or taking a trip and doing an experiment. Next, allowing kids to play freely and independently. As I mentioned in episode 16, unstructured free play is how kids learn. It builds that schema. It helps them develop cognitive, physical, and social and emotional skills. Unstructured play is probably the most important thing we can do to encourage children to be curious. And that brings me to where the best place is to play. And certainly, we need to provide an interesting environment for kids, both indoors and outdoors. In episodes 12 and 13, we explored how educators can provide interesting learning environments both inside and outside for children. Children aren't going to be able to build schema in a sterile environment. One of the best environments that nurture curiosity is, of course, nature. Nature provides everything that children need to explore and thrive. Nature is the ultimate provocation. When kids are playing, they discover critters, which could lead to an inquiry project. They build, they balance on logs, they run, they play in the sand, they roll down hills, they build forts, they learn to cooperate with others. Nature is also the place where we can teach kids how to observe the world around us and nurture awareness of our surroundings. And so next week, I have a very special guest on the show, the wonderful Victoria Hackett from OutdoorClassrooms.com. She will be sharing all her tips and ideas for getting kids outdoors and learning outdoors and the benefits of learning outside. So make sure you follow or subscribe so you're notified when that episode is published and you won't miss out on that. Next, I think we should be providing open-ended materials for creative expression and problem solving. When it comes to toys, there's really no need to spend a fortune. Objects from nature, empty boxes, recycled containers, all make ideal objects for creativity. We've all seen how quickly children lose interest in toys and prefer the box they came in. And if you must buy toys, look for those that allow for open-ended play, where children can use it for different types of play. In this category, I would include art supplies, blocks, Lego, high-quality animal figurines like those from the Schleich brand. And I'm not an affiliate for them at all. I just love them because I had them for my kids and they're in storage waiting for the next generation. And they're such high quality, they'll never end up in landfill because they can be used generation upon generation. Much better than those low quality, cheap plastic toys that really hold very little interest for children over time. Next is to provide opportunities for thinking and problem solving. Using games, things like dominoes, card games, Monopoly, chess, drafts, things like that parking lot game where you have to figure out how to get the car out of traffic jam. Those are all great strategy games that have the added benefit of not involving technology, but learning to play fairly, learning how to lose. So just playing outdoors, playing games also helps kids develop resilience and much needed grit. And also that schema, that brain web of information is growing. Next, read. Cultivate a love of reading in children. And once again, it's up to us to provide the opportunities for children to interact with books and stories. Have an audiobook playing in the car while you're driving. Read to children every day. Just before bedtime is a great time for reading and calming children down. But children love listening to stories in the classroom, have regular times to read, but not just for teaching skills and concepts, but just for the sheer pleasure of it too. Make sure that there are plenty of books in your environment and plenty of opportunities to read. Reading is, of course, the one skill and tool that provides the answers to so many questions. So make sure that you are not only reading, but also asking questions about what you're reading. Because we need to ensure kids understand what they are reading. So just a little side story here. I was saying yesterday, I'm trying to learn Italian, right, as I mentioned before. Well, I can read Italian perfectly, but mostly I haven't got a clue what I'm reading. So, you know, that just tells you I'm not going to be able to learn and speak and interact with others unless I actually understand what I'm reading. So it's not just about being able to read fluently, but also understanding what we are reading. So we must model and encourage and explicitly teach kids how to to understand what they're reading. We need to instill those skills for comprehension in children. And finally, the ultimate strategy for nurturing curiosity and getting kids happy to learn is inquiry. It is through inquiry-based learning where we can show kids and ourselves where the gaps are in their knowledge and how to acquire the knowledge they need to fill those gaps. Inquiry uses all these factors that I've mentioned and brings them together to help children create more schema and keep that spark, that curiosity alive. And there are many critics of inquiry-based learning who say that this strategy does not raise standards. Well, over the next few months, I'm going to unpack inquiry-based learning and take you through the inquiry cycle and how it benefits children's learning. Inquiry has a very specific purpose. And over the next few months, I will share with you my personal way of integrating and dovetailing inquiry across subject areas and alongside explicit instruction. Because you see, although I am a great proponent and fan of inquiry-based learning, because I've seen its power firsthand in my own students, I am also a great proponent of explicit instruction. So for me, it's not an and-or approach, but rather the dovetailing of the two together. So if you're curious how to better engage your learners and get amazing results, then make sure you subscribe or follow so you won't miss out on those future episodes in this inquiry and curiosity series. And today's episode is brought to you by Ed's Lessons. And Ed's Lessons understands the limitations and frustrations that educators experience when it comes to lesson planning and integrating inquiry into lesson planning. So if you're looking for ready-made integrated lessons linked to picture books, or you're looking for a helping hand to get started with inquiry-based learning, then go to edslessons.com and check out the resources on offer there. I hope that you found some value in today's episode. If you did, click on those three dots and share it with others so they can benefit too. And why not leave a review, just like Dory did, so that I know that you like this type of content and I'll keep making more. And remember, next week I have a guest appearance, Victoria Hackett's coming, so make sure you don't miss that by subscribing and following the show. Until next week, take care of yourselves and stay blooming curious.